Right, we want to welcome all of you, okay, to Every Nation Penang here. Okay, we exist to honor God and make disciples. Okay, that's what we do. Okay, now move on. Okay, so we are continuing our series, a six-part series, Amazing Grace. We have touched to, for those of you who are new with us, okay, or you have forgotten what the message is all about. Okay, our Every Nation this year, we declare the theme called Amazing Grace. Okay, we declare, okay, Amazing Grace. All churches of every nation, okay, are doing this series. All right, now, our goal is such that how best we can present a theological, biblical, practical view of what grace is all about so that we have a deeper appreciation, okay, and experience God's amazing grace. Okay, that transform each and every one of us. Okay, that is the main goal. Okay, as we look into different facade, different okay angle. Okay, of what grace is all about. All right. So with that, a quick recap. AJ preached this abundant grace. AJ, where are you now? Okay, AJ, help me to kick off the series. We talk about how God's amazing grace transform our relationship, which means once upon a time we cannot relate to God. Okay, that's where you see in the whole world, okay, when they do not know God, they do all kinds of things, okay, in order, okay, to relate to God, and we know that is not, okay, possible. Now, the word abundant means overflowing, more than enough, and never runs out. So, in other words, Jesus has poured out His abundant grace, okay, upon each and every one of us, which means in the past, you have all kinds of sin, things that you're not even proud, things that you have done, you know that no one will ever forgive you. God has His abundant grace for you, okay? So that you can step, okay, into the presence of God. You can think about how matter, how terrible were you. God's grace is abundance. Amen? All right? Now, that's the illustration I came to know that is, If you have sinned so much, it's like flood. The water comes, okay? And if you don't do something about it, you're going to drown. But God came. He gave you a boat, and you jump into the boat. So as the sin, that the flood that rises, God save you. You won't die, all right? Because in a boat, okay? No matter how terrible sin that you have done before, God save you, okay? As the water rises, you are safe, all right? But again, the balance is such that many people took God's grace for granted, all right? Thinking that because God's grace is so abundant, they can continue to sin. No, that's not supposed to be. That's theologically wrong, all right? So if we take God's grace for granted, God forgive one, well, when your review comes, bonus come, you face the consequences. All right, now. So in other words, if we take God's grace for granted, it's no longer abundant grace. It's called abusing grace. Right? All right, now, let's move on. Then, this is a very scripture that we use. Because of one man's trespasses, death reign. Okay, now. But that one man, Jesus Christ, came. Yeah, we received the abundance of grace. It's a free gift of righteousness. So life reigned. Jesus reigned. Okay, amen? Now, let's move on. Then we have the subject called justifying grace. Okay, Terence, take that part. Okay, second part. We'll talk about how God's amazing grace transformed our eternity. What does that mean? That means we can never get to heaven because of the sin nature inside us. Jesus came, okay, do His part, okay, to save us because He loved us. Justifying grace is allowing you and I to stand right before God. Otherwise, hell is waiting for you. So many people, when they go to hell, do you know what is the first word? Hello. Okay, hell. Okay, hello. Okay, and they end up in hell, all right? Now, justification means just, okay, in simple words, okay, that we normally use or normally we explain is justification, just as you have not sinned. Wow. So when Jesus died on the cross, okay, died on the cross, wash our sin, when we meet Jesus one day or when we go to heaven one day, when God look at you, just as you have not sinned. Wow, that is so powerful. All right, justification. All right, now. So in other words, okay, justification or justifying grace permit us, though legally we are condemned as sinners to hell, But because of Jesus' justifying grace, we can stand before our holy and righteous God, all right? Remember, you watch all those Chinese emperor show on. Oh, any little thing the emperor see that is wrong, what do you do? Okay, that's it, okay? Jump down now. All right, now. So in other words, our eternity is settled because of His amazing grace, that is Jesus dying on the cross, which we all do not deserve. Okay, Jesus took our place, and so that the great news is such that the amazing grace was made available for all of us. Can I go to amen? All right, so abundant grace, justifying grace. What are we going to do today? Okay, Titus 3:7, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs, okay, according to the hope of eternal life. I also mentioned this, many times I use this, is that when you're doing a word, everyone try to correct themselves very hard, all right? So they try to correct their left, they try to go to the center, they try to go to the right. But when you come to Jesus, He justify you, amen? He make your life straight and no longer crooked, right? Many of our lives are crooked. Do you know what's the meaning of sin? It means crooked. It's not straight. Many of us who learn Bahasa, that is the life that is songsang, you know, not straight. Songsang, bend. Okay, the word sin is bend. So just like you drive to Cameron, the road is bending, all right? It's bend. It's not straight. Our life is like that. So God came to justify us. Good, amen? All right. So today we're going to talk about sanctifying grace. Say with me, sanctifying. All right. So we're going to learn this word, sanctifying. So our goal today is how God's amazing grace transforms our behavior. All right. Let us pray. Father God, I commit our series before you. Okay. As our every nation will, okay, declare what amazing grace all about, the theme that, okay, that we want to embrace, and all of us, so God, Lord, Father, I pray, okay, through this series, we understand, we take one step deeper in understanding amazing, your amazing grace towards us. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, amen. All right, now, so with that, let me begin with this. How many of you love to watch, what's this? Transformer, yes, all right. Now, if you are a Transformer freak or whatever, okay, now, in all those movies, although I didn't watch all of them, all right, but there's something called this cube. What's this? The cube. Okay, all right, this is not a crowd. Okay, no. Is this thing called, okay, the cube that is called All Sparks? Okay, all spark. So in all this Transformer movie, they're all fighting for this spark. They want to rescue this. They want to get back this, okay, spark. Okay, so in that movie of this all spark, okay, this all spark become the sole creator of Transformers power. Okay, whatever they do. So it's become, this artifact has become the place where they energize, okay, the Cybertron, okay, that they create, okay, the generation and generation of Transformer. Okay, that is the movie, all right, the show is all those, all right, now. So in all those shows, when they come to the Earth, they say they are battle, but in our world, okay, the kind of slogan that the Transformer has, all right, now. So with that, right, okay, that what happened was, okay, whether the good one or the bad one or the human one, all fighting for this ultimate power, all wanting this all spark, this cube. Okay, because power, Transformer, all right. Now, so Optimus Prime said this, before time began, that was the cube. We know not where it comes from, only that it holds the power to create worlds and fill them with life. And that is how our race was born. Sound like a bit taken from the Bible, right? Okay, all right, okay. Before time began, that was the word, okay, the word. So what if I tell you this, the real ultimate power is not the cube, but it's none other than Jesus, all right? Than Jesus. So we're going to look at how, okay, God, okay, with His amazing grace, and as we today, as we explore what sanctifying grace is, that God given us a sanctifying grace so that we can transform, okay? We can transform, okay? I'll be here in this world every day. The challenges that we have, what we are facing the world, your office world, your school work, okay? Home, okay? Community, neighborhood, and all those. How can the sanctifying grace, amazing grace of God, help us transform, okay, as we live on this world? All right, now, scripture that we're going to look at is taken from Titus 2, 11, okay, to 14. Shall you read together with me? 1, 2, 3. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are jealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Amen. All right. Now, let me give you a bit of the background of the book of Titus. If you have read Titus in chapter 1 and all those, it's about Paul. This book of Titus is written by Apostle Paul, written to Titus. So what happened was, Paul has planted a church, okay, in a city called Crete. Say with me, Crete. C-R-E-T-E. All right, now, so if you read Titus in chapter 1, Paul wrote to Titus, okay, the book of Titus is a pastoral episodes, okay, it's a senior pastor writing to his younger pastor, all right? So when he was writing there, okay, Paul wrote, I left you, okay, in Crete, okay? I left you in Crete. Now, there are a few things that Apostle Paul writing to Titus, all right? So Titus was left, okay, in the place called Crete because Paul wants him to establish the church. Okay, Paul is an apostle, all right? So he goes to a place, and then he plant, okay, the church, then appoint, okay, pastor leaders, okay, to lead, okay, the church. So, as of every pastor of every church, every pastors have their challenges, yes? Just to let you know, in case you do not know that Pastor Jonathan is not God, right? He's human, okay? have challenges as well, all right? So, every pastor has their own challenges. And here, Apostle Paul is writing to them, all right? Now, let me tell you, this church, there's no problem as long as everyone honors God and make disciples. Yes, amen? If everyone honors God, I think it's time for me to go to plant another church. All right, now, so as we honor God and make disciples, then church will continue to grow. When we are so busy, honor God and make disciples, we have no time, okay? We have no time to talk about other people, okay? We won't be busy gossiping. We won't be busy, be angry over anyone, okay? Or be offended because we are busy honoring God and make disciples, amen? All right, so today as we look at what Paul wrote to Titus, Pastor Titus, okay, was confronted with the challenges of false teachers, okay, of that time, all right? And he is to establish the doctrine, okay, to the church, okay, that everybody follows theologically, okay, what the Word of God says, okay? So Paul gave Pastor Titus, okay, guidelines, okay, of how he should lead the church and how he should address the doctrinal, okay, issue that is, okay, destroying, okay, the congregation, okay, that time. Now, today, false teaching is also very real. Huh? Okay, cults are rampant. Okay, recently, okay, that I was in the pastoral meeting in Penang. Okay, one of the young pastors also brought up and said, have you all heard about this cult group? Okay, so they are so high-tech right now in the sense that everything they work on the app. So when they engage others, they tell them, you don't need to read the Bible anymore. Wow, are you reading the Bible? If you hear your pastor say, don't read the Bible anymore, you better change church, okay? Right now. So each year we say, read your Bible, all right? So now they don't read the Bible anymore, you read our app. And they have Bible studies. And the young people are attracted to it because app all attracted to it. Now, do you know that all cult group, they don't reach the lost. They reach Christians. Yeah. Take note, huh? So we are to win the loss. Okay, not rich Christian, all right? Rich the loss, okay? And every Christian must do our part. Now, if you understand a bit of the Cretans or the Crete, okay? Paul is addressing to Pastor Titus to address the issue of wrong doctrine, false teaching, and that's because of the lifestyle, okay, of the Cretans. But the lifestyle of a Christian has even brought in into the church life. Now, if you look at the background, when somebody say, "Hey, you Cretans," it is saying what? "Hey, you liars." It's what it means during the time, the culture, okay, that time. So I search nowadays, okay, some of the philosophers and those times, this is Epimenides. He said, "All Cretans are liars." Plutarch said this, "Playing Cretan with the Cretans means lying to liars. Liars lying to liars." That's the culture. That was the Cretans. They are known, okay, being liars. How many of you want to be branded as a "you liar"? No one, right? But Cretans are known. So you do not know whether to choose to believe, okay, another Cretan. That's what it means, all right? Today, maybe we don't use this. Maybe you see, "Hey, you lazy bum," right? Okay, all right. I don't know what other use you use. Maybe S-T-U-P-I-D, all right, now. Anyway, so these are the members of Pastor Titus has. Wow, thank you for all honest people here. Praise God. All right, now, let's move on. So with that, the nature or the background of that, Pastor Titus is facing, all right? So when we look at the text, at least we have this background, and then understand why sanctifying grace all about. In fact, in Titus chapter 1, verse 12 says this, okay? Even the Christians, the Cretans, not Christian, okay? The Cretans, okay, said, "One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.'" Wow, they eat and eat and eat and lazy and they don't do anything, all right? So they are branded as liars, and the other word could be idiots or whatever. All right, now, so as we address, okay, what it means, okay, sanctifying grace, okay, that's where we're going to look at now, sanctify. So we have abundant grace, okay? God forgive us. We have justifying grace. God make our life straight. Now, okay, so this is over here. Okay, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said this, it's Titus was shelf. Now, do we have struggles? Yes, we have struggles. As students, as parents, okay, as husband and wife, okay, as employees, as employers, all of us have struggled. But we believe God, right? We believe God. We know who God. We pastors, each time when we're on the stage, "Honor God, honor God. Yes, I want to honor you, God, but still late for work. Oh, I honor God. I don't cheat anymore on the line," but when it comes to exam, people case. All right, now, all of us struggles with finances, struggles with relationship, all kinds of struggles that we have, and struggles are very real. And each time when you are on your time when you pray, "Yes, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me," and all those. At the same time, we ended up going back to do what we do not know what to do. We are just like Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul in Romans 7 says something like this. Say, "The things that I do not want to do, I keep on doing. The things that I hate to do, I keep on doing." All right? Things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Those things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Those things I want to do, I do not want to do, I keep doing. Don't ask me to repeat again. I don't know how the sequence goes. Okay, all right, now. Don't you able to relate what Apostle Paul says? Yeah, struggles is very real. I'm not going to play game anymore. Tomorrow is exam. Ended up playing game again. Okay. Not to watch this anymore. Watch again. You know, things that you know that you're not supposed to do, but keep on doing. Things that you're supposed to do, but didn't do. So that struggle inside. But you believe in Jesus. Oh. You pray. Oh. You come to Sunday. Come to church every Sunday. Sometimes on the knees pray. Sometimes the other one is, "Yes, Pastor, I need to come for prayer night." Each time when you say that, sure got meeting, tire puncture, okay, all right, need to repair this brake, okay. So all kind of things will just surface. Struggles is real. Oh, baby cry. And suddenly, out of nowhere, someone falls sick. Struggles is real. Every time when you find that you want to do something for God, the Bible says what? Those who want to live a godly life, shall suffer persecution. How can you live, this journey of a Christian? How can you follow Jesus? The struggles are very real. Bills. Trying to be a good citizen. They want to overtake. Then you are flat down instead of the other one. Police flat you down. Struggles are very real. Yeah. Yes. Right? So as we talk about the amazing grace, as we talk about sanctified grace, how do we overcome that? It's only by the grace of God. Not by our own works. Not by our own energy. Okay, not only that God's amazing grace, the abundant grace transform our relationship with God, not only God's amazing grace transform our eternity, that is justifying grace, but while you are living on earth, God provides His amazing grace. That's sanctifying grace that we're going to talk about. Because the abundant grace, the justifying grace, that means we know, one day we're going to meet Jesus. God make it available for all of us. One day we can be in Jesus. But while you're living on earth, there's another facet of grace called justifying grace, that transform, us as we prepare, to meet Jesus one day. Good, amen? All right, so as we look at how God's amazing grace transform our behavior, looking at this scripture, 11:11-14, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now, the word grace, you probably hear again and again, is the word charis. What is grace? Grace, many girls like the name Grace. So if you understand Grace, it's not your working colleague by the name of Grace, okay? It's not your sister by the name of Grace, all right? Now, the Greek word is called charis. Now, some, they name their daughter Charissa, That means double grace, Double grace. Now, charis, you already knew, it's unmerited favor. Or in other words, God show His kindness, We talk about that, which means grace that we do not deserve. If you deserve that grace, it's no longer called grace. That's what it means. So all of us do not deserve grace. We don't earn it. That's how we got saved. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not for us, from ourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, so Paul said this to Titus, for the grace of God has appeared. In Greek, it's called epiphano or epiphany, if you have heard this word before. It means to appear, to allow oneself to achieve its purpose. In other words, the grace of God has appeared. Who has appeared? Jesus. Does that mean in the past there was no grace of God? No, it doesn't mean that, all right? Because the grace of God is none other than Jesus. Jesus is all the time there. But Paul is writing, saying the grace of God has appeared. In other words, Jesus Himself has presented Himself physically to all of us. Grace of God has appeared and is to fulfill that purpose. What is the purpose? Bringing salvation to all people. What's the grace all about? That each and everyone, the lost, coming to know the Lord Jesus. He has made available to everyone, all, say with me, all. All people, all right? So the work of Christ is done, is finished on the cross. That means everyone, whether you're male or female, Gentiles or Jews, slave, masters, whether you're clever or not so clever, whether you're rich or not so rich, whoever call upon, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And a good amen. All right, now, let me show you another words. That's to tell us that Jesus was already made available. Just that for Jesus to appear, epiphany, to appear, to show us that it's also physically already appear, all right? Now, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. In other words, right before Genesis time, Jesus already there, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, right? What a wonderful Savior we have. So in other words, the grace of God already even appear in the Old Testament, just that people do not see it. So that's where Jesus appeared. So for many of our friends as well, they have not seen, they have not experienced, they have not encountered the grace of God. So even as we talk about justifying or justification, just as you did not sin, all right, in the simple word will be justification is as you have not done wrong. Okay, let me phrase it for you, okay? God's amazing grace does not just save you for eternity, abundant grace. God's amazing grace does not just to bring you to heaven, it's justifying grace, all right? So the whole thing is, while you're still alive, what happens, all right, now? But His amazing grace enables you to live in this present reality victoriously. So that is sanctifying grace. So while you're still here, with all the struggles, with all the challenges, okay, in this world, in the world that you live in, how does the grace of God work? It's called sanctifying. It's a journey, okay, that we are going through. Amen? All right, now. So this same grace that saved you, this same grace, abundant grace, justifying grace, this same grace that saved you is the same grace that will transform you. Not any other grace. Just that we're looking at different angle. But it's the same grace, the same work of Jesus dying on the cross, okay, that transform you and I. But the big question is still how, all right? Big question, we're going to look into the verse. Verse 12 now. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. The word training us. Now, what is this meaning of grace? Now, and in this present age, can you see? So sanctifying grace is that for all of us in this present age, while you're living on this earth, what happens? All right? We all the challenge and struggle this present age. Now, grace is not just a past event, okay, but a present reality, okay, for all of us. All right? Now, the grace of God was not just poured out at one time. God always poured out, okay, His grace upon us. Otherwise, when Jesus died on the cross, His work is done, finished, all right, now. Then He said, sorry, I'm leaving now. Peace be unto you. Okay, bye. I'm going to heaven. Bye. Sorry. Then leave it to you. No. The grace of God has appeared, okay, for all of us in this present age, okay? Now, what does that mean? John, okay, in John, okay, Jesus said this, I will not leave you as orphans. Do I have the words here? Okay, no. Okay, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you in a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. So that's why the grace of God, okay, is where you experience the sanctifying grace enables you, all right? So although Jesus died on the cross, ascended to heaven, but His sanctifying grace enables us, okay? Now, so that is where the balance is. I continue to say this. Many people thought the grace of God, they abuse the grace of God, they continue to sin. Oh, God, forgive me, grace of God, okay, abundance. No, the abundant grace of God, the sanctifying grace, as we talk about sanctifying grace, the sanctifying grace gives us power to overcome all the struggles and sins that we have. All right, now, so I point out in this so that the to get us understand as we move on this package, okay, this series of amazing grace. On the cross, our sin have been dealt with once and for all by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Justified. Because Dennis and I have a chat, okay, about the series, and we will talk about there are few terminology, theological words. We try to put it plain so that you can understand, all right? So when each time appear, what is justification? What is sanctification? What is imputation? Okay. What is instrumentation? Okay, now. What is train station? Okay, now. Okay, on the cross, our sin have been dealt with once and for all by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified. Okay, now. But those who are called to follow Christ are called to a lifetime carrying their own cross daily. Okay, so it's an everyday thing. It's called sanctification. It's a continual process, not one time, because God is transforming us, okay, into His image. Amen? Okay, sometimes, right, when you if you are parents here, you try to deal with your children, okay, what do you say? No more, huh? No more, huh? Okay. But he continued doing, right? June, are you experiencing that? Okay, I don't know why I say grow, right? Okay, no touch. Okay, no touch. The next moment, he look at you and you touch. Have you ever experienced that? Experienced with my children? Yes. This is hot, okay? Hot. Don't touch. He look at you. They want to touch. Okay? As you run, don't run. You're going to hit your head. So what does my son do? He will run. No, purposely run. Then he come. Real story. It's not a joke, okay? It's real story, all right? When they are so young, you know, they human are like that. We can observe all this obedience, disobedience, stubbornness, all that in our children. When they look at it, wow. You start thinking, was I like that when I was young? Right? True, all right? Because your pattern after us, all right? They are watching, all right, now. If justification saves us from the penalty of sin, then sanctification enables us to live victoriously from the power of sin. If you get this right, I can pray and we can end service already, because this is what it means, sanctification race. If justification saves us from the penalty of sin, right, it's dealt, okay, Dean. Jesus came once and for all, one time. We don't appoint someone from the congregation, okay, on every Easter, okay, who will be the next to kneel on the cross? Okay, we don't do that, right? We don't do that. Because this weekend, right, somebody will go pierce himself, all right, now. Sanctification enable you to live victoriously from the power of sin, all right? Now, I captured two scholars, okay, two fathers of faith that say this, okay? Grace is not simply leniency when we have sin. And now my life is okay, lah. God is really lenient, lah. He forgive lah, all right, now. It's not, okay? Grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. So when see sin, how? To sin, not to sin? Sin, lah, because God forgive. No, right? Grace is a power, it's an enabling power given, okay, to us. Grace is power, not just pardon. Another person by the name of Martin Luther, he said this, there is no justification without sanctification, no forgiveness without the renewal of life. If someone say forgive, forgive, but never change, life never change. Christian life is all about change. It's all about life transformed. When people see Christ in you because they see a life of transformation inside you, not just information, but life never transformed. No, it's about when you knew the truth, your life transformed. It's a change, okay? So that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, say, anyone is, you know, is in Christ, is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. Okay, now, no real faith from which the fruits of new obedience do not grow. So in other words, when you come to the faith in Christ, you will see new fruits, okay, growing in your life. In other words, we cannot say we love Christ and not live in Christ. Right? All right? Just like you say, I like to drink coffee, this cup. I like this cup, lah, but I don't like the saucer. It comes as a set. Right? Fork and spoon. It comes as a set. Oh, I like the fork, lah, but I don't like the spoon. You know. Chopstick. I like this one, but I don't like this. You see what? It comes as a pair, all right? So if we say we love Christ, we got to live, okay, like Christ. So when Titus, okay, looking at his church members, and Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, all right? So he looked at his members, the Cretans, okay? Paul said, you got to train them, okay? You got to train them, training, okay? Involve, okay, training them. So it's so important, okay, to train them. In other words, okay, the life must change, okay? The train them means what? So you look at the Cretans, look at the church members, okay, the Cretans or the laws, they say that, okay, you have been living like this. Now, I'm going to train you. You got to leave this. You got to unlearn all this thing lying, okay? You got to stop. Now, I'm going to teach you, you're going to learn new things. All right? Now, I heard of one illustration that is, this man, okay, he lost his arm. Okay, lost his arm. Which one is your stronger arm? Right. Okay, many of us stronger arm. Uncle Kui, left hand. Left hand. Okay, left hand. Okay, now, how many left hand we have? Okay, all right. Okay, now. So, all this while, your dominant power or hand is your right hand. So, you brush teeth, you wear your clothes, you wear your shoe, okay, you take bath, okay, you write, you sign checks, okay, no more signing checks already, okay, everything is by your right hand, okay, it's just your subconscious mind, anything you do is just the right hand, because that is your dominant thing, okay, your practice, your lifestyle, and all those, but whatever reason, you have lost your right hand, right arm. Now, how are you going to brush teeth? How are you going to take bath? How are you going to unscrew the cap? How are you going to use a screwdriver? How are you going to drive now? How are you going to do a lot of things in your life? You've got to change your lifestyle. Now you have to learn, your left hand. How to sign check now? How to write your name now? And you just frustrated, hey, how come I writing like that one? That's why when you're young, train your children left hand, right hand. Okay. So everything has to change because you have to unlearn and learn new things. So training, Apostle Paul telling Pastor Titus, you got to train them. Oh, teach them new. Unlearn all those. Don't lie anymore. Be honest. Okay. Don't be late. Now be early. You have to train them. Okay. Give you another example. Let's say you go hiking. You go jungle trail, and then suddenly, there's some pain, and then you're going to see a doctor. And when the doctor assesses you, whatever test, the doctor says this to you, you know, your heart is dying. Your liver is also dying. What are you going to do? Do you have a left heart? Do you have a right heart? Do you have another liver? What do? You change your lifestyle. If you do not change your lifestyle, you are dying. So which means what? You change your habit. You stop drinking. You stop smoking. What else? You start exercising. What else? All those things that you already know. That's why Paul says, the thing I don't want to do, I keep on doing. The thing I want to do, I didn't do. We all know. Eat well, sleep well, exercise. We all know. But how much time we put to that? Likewise, when Paul was teaching Titus to train his people, that is, change lifestyle. How do you not honor God? How have you been disobedient? How has you been dishonored? Now change that. Now live a life that's honoring God. So involve all levels. Students, workplace, marriage, home, your neighborhood, even in the community, even in the nation. Paul telling Titus to teach, okay, the people. Amen. So with that, okay, this word training in Greek means paideia. Does that? I don't know. Okay, to train children. So it's the word that is used to train children, to chasten, to correct, to learn, to discipline, to educate, to instruct. And human nature is, I don't listen. I know everything already. Don't want to be instruct. Don't want to be disciplined. Doctor say, your heart is dying. Serious. Okay? Now, let's move on. So with that, to unlearn and learn, okay, it's so important. So what do you do? Okay, what do you do? Huh? So it's like how God transformed, amazing grace transformed our behavior. Just two things that, easy for all of us. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion. We all know what is ungodly, what is worldly. We all know, all right? So in other words, make it easy, say no. Say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. We are all challenged, okay, by all this in our working place, in our friends that we have, all right? So sanctifying grace means is, Friends, that is where sanctifying grace enable you to say no. Take another secret, lah. Nyamai, you won't die. Yeah, you won't die now, but you die later. And just how soon only, all right? Okay, so, friends, the grace of God teaches us to say no. The grace of God enable us to say no. How many of us realize that it's so much better when you learn how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion? Your life will live better. You will always be challenged and tempted. Hey, come have another drink. Hey, hello, come here. Smell this, take this. If you know how to say no, it saves you a lot of trouble. Okay, let's practice. Say no. No. 1, 2, 3. No. No to what? Ungodliness and worldly passions. Okay, that's what it means. So it's only by the grace of God we can say no. Okay, renounce means, this word renounce, okay, just now the word, okay, the word renounce, this word means the break loyalty or allegiance. If you are so loyal, okay, to whatever, alcohol, smoking, all kind that you can know, you think of, right? If you're so loyal to that, now is to renounce, to break, okay, that loyalty, all right? So learning to say no, okay, to the root of ungodliness and its fruit, okay, that is worldly passion. When we learn to unlearn and learn, okay, and saying no, all right? Now, it's only when you learn to say no, you can say yes, okay, to many things. It's all about the life of purity. Good, amen? Okay, a life of purity. So with that, that understanding, you know, sometimes when you live in that lifestyle, you know it's so painful to leave all those that you like, and you know that you're not supposed to. It's very painful to let go all this. But that painful experience to let go all those, the reward is far more greater when you learn how to say yes to Jesus. Huh? All right, so that's one, say no. Number two, if say no, the other one will be? Say yes. Okay, say yes. Say yes! Yes! Yes to what? To live self-control, upright, and godly lives. Okay, now, so say yes to a self-control, upright, and godly life in this present age. Okay, so I'm going to end, okay, with this story, and then we look at the last three verses. Okay, self-control means what first, before I tell the story? Self-control. Self-control naturally relates to your personal life so that you are free under God's control. Okay? The best control is self-control. Otherwise, father control, mother control, auntie control, grandmother control, or remote control. Okay, all right. Okay. So the best is still self-control. Okay, how many of you like somebody to control you? Left, right, yes, no. Nobody likes. Self-control is still okay. Upright. Upright relates to your relationship with others and to your to God and to others. How you live your life, is it upright? Ask the question of, do you live a life of integrity, honesty, truthfulness, upright? When you talk about godly, okay, pertains to your relationship with God, upright with others, godly is with a God, do you place Jesus in the center of your life? Okay, ask those questions. Then to say yes will be easier. Right now, I want to end with this story. A few years ago, we came to know... Okay, you know, okay, she is a Harvard graduate. Okay, she did many years ago. She came back, she took 1 year, okay, just to pray, okay, the work and the business that she wanted to do, all right? Now, cut the story short, that is, the year came, where her job, the corporate world and her NGO and all this in Singapore, okay, corporate world and NGO, so she runs a corporate world to have money, okay, to run the NGO, okay. Her plan, her program and all those caught the attention, okay, of Singapore government. The Singapore government gave her the whole juvenile prison. Okay, can you develop a program to transform, okay, the inmates, okay, juvenile, all right, all those, okay, now. So what happened, one day, she received an invitation, okay, to have a program to be done in Thailand, all right? And that moment was the president, the prime minister of Thailand, not this one, okay, many years ago. His sister was her classmate, okay? So they studied together in Harvard, okay, understand, all right, now. So the sister told the brother who is, okay, the prime minister that, oh, I have a friend. My coursemate, okay, my coursemate, and she runs this for the Singapore government and all those long story, all right? And my friend, my good friend, I think hostel mate and all those, okay, all those. Then he told the brother who is the prime minister, this friend doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't go party. Very, you know, pure one, okay, all those. The brother who is the prime minister, okay, I will take that program. She was being offered $1 million USD to run the program per year. Wow. So when she received that, she said, hey, don't your brother want to interview me and see all what I have done and program and all those? So she went back and told the brother. The brother said this, which is the prime minister, he said this. What can go wrong? Your friend doesn't smoke. Your friend doesn't drink. Your friend doesn't gamble. Your friend doesn't go party. How can my money go wrong? It can never. Your friend is self-controlled, upright, and godly life. How you live a life of purity, your value goes up. Tell your neighbor left, right, $1 million USD. Yeah, all right. So it's us, okay, to how you say yes and how you say no by the grace of God. So as we read this, why, musician, get ready? The waiting for a blessed hope. Who? Jesus. The appearing of his glory of a great God, Savior Jesus Christ. In our lingo, right? Want to give God glory. Want to give God glory. Do all day. Oh, give God glory. Do you say yes? Do you say no? Do you say no? Do you say yes? All right? So the appearing of God's glory, who gave himself to redeem us. Jesus died for us. We all know that already, okay? From all lawlessness and purified for himself a people for his own possession who are jealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Are we sanctified now? It's by the grace of God. What are you supposed to say no? And what are you supposed to say yes? May God's wisdom be upon you. Amen. His amazing grace. His sanctifying grace. And good amen. All right. Okay. Let's pray. Huh? Let's give Jesus a big hand. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Huh? Shall we all rise? Let's pray. So I probably want to ask you to take a moment, okay, to reflect. Okay. Last week, I asked you all, when you go back, you reflect. What's the one thing? Pastor Nelly talked about the one thing. You reflect each message that you receive. It's not just a sermon you carry home. For the message, God, speak to me. Right? Today, as we talk about sanctifying grace, I want you to reflect on, are there things in your life that you know you need to say no? You know it's not good for you. You know it's affecting you, affect your health, affect your finances. Okay, some people are that. Huh? Every new phone they want to buy. So all the new phone, just about 2-3 months, what do you do? Okay, not wise. Okay, some many people are not wise. Their finances, relationship, not living a purity life. Okay, probably one relationship after another relationship, a husband and wife, they're not wise. Right, some couldn't manage their time well, time management. There's some anger, need anger management. I don't know. Sometimes I think about all this. It's all our principle of life. Okay, sometimes I was thinking like that. Should we have a course on anger management, have a course on time management, have a course on all this management? Okay, all right. Probably need to, right? Maybe need to. Everybody need to be taught how to be trained. Okay, today. How do you do your quiet life? So that's what I'm saying. The church will not have much problem if everyone choose to honor God. Say yes to self-control, to live a life of self-control, upright, godly life. Say no, okay, to worldly passion. Say no to ungodliness. Okay, if we can mark that, we can do that. It's difficult, it's challenging. It only can be done by the grace of God. Amen. Father, I commit all of us into your hands. Father, even as we take this one step to experience you, to embrace what it means, amazing grace, and what it means by grace, when we know true and true, Jesus, you are the grace of God. Jesus, you are named as the one with grace and truth. Knowing grace and knowing truth. That when we know that, Jesus, the truth will stand. And we will not fall, okay, into ungodliness and worldly passion. Help us, O God, Lord, okay, to say no to ungodliness, to say yes to godliness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, whichever place or juncture or life that we are in, okay, each and everyone, Father, as I ask everyone to reflect, I pray and ask, Lord, that each and everyone will take upon the grace of God and learn to say no and learn to say yes, to unlearn all those that's wrong and learn all those that of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.